Man, isn't our pastors awesome at this church? Aren't they awesome? I am grateful. I am thankful for our pastors of this wonderful church here called Celebration Church. Listen, happy Sunday, happy Father's Day, happy Lord's Day. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalms that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are glad that you woke up on the right side of the dirt this morning, why don't you let God know that you're thankful in this place? Amen. Amen. You all may have your seat in this place. I'm believing that God is going to use me to speak a word that is going to be on time for somebody in this place. But how many of you are glad to be back in the building this morning? Amen, amen. Last weekend was awesome, wasn't it? It was awesome and authentic. But as I stand up here today, I could tell you that I felt like last Sunday was a church holiday. I woke up early. I started barbecuing, and me and my family, we got our praise and worship on in our pajamas. And then we heard a powerful message from Pastor Cherie Hand. Amen. Heard a powerful message last week. And then we sat down and ate, and I tell you what, it was awesome. But there is nothing like being in the building together, serving and worshiping our Father. Amen. Amen. There is nothing like being in the building. But at the same time, I can tell you, I'm not surprised why we have a strong online audience, because they're at home barbecuing and praising and worshiping in their pajamas. I'm just kidding. Wherever you guys are tuned in from online, welcome. Welcome to Sunday service. I'm believing that God is going to move in this place. But, you know, whenever I'm given the opportunity to stand up on this stage, it is never taken lightly. And I do want to just give honor to our pastors, because I am mindful to do this every time. Pastor Randy and Pastor Cherie Hand, I truly appreciate you guys for giving me this opportunity to share to this wonderful church. I am honored. I am thankful for you guys' leadership. And I think I speak for this whole church when I say we appreciate you guys, we value you guys, and we love y'all for sure. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. But you know, being on this stage today, it kind of hits different for me today. And I want to give you a little background on why today hits really different for me this Sunday. You see, back in 2020, when I was still living in Scottsdale, Arizona, Pastor Anthony, he's somewhere around here probably, but Pastor Anthony and Nick Hand, they called me and they were like, hey, can you come speak for Uni Celebration for us? And at that time, I was traveling back and forth between Scottsdale, Arizona and Fresno, California, developing my school, which is now Golden Charter Academy. This is in 2020. And I remember I reached out to Nick Hand and I reached out to Pastor Anthony and I told them, like, hey, I'm scheduled to be in Fresno on these dates. Let me know if you guys still want me to come and speak at Uni Celebration. And they're like, yeah, come in, come speak. Fast forward, I got the opportunity to come and I spoke at Uni Celebration. And I remember I spoke a message called Purpose Over Plans. And after I finished my message, Pastor Andrew Nava walked me and my wife to my car at Maya Cinemex. And he's like, sheesh, bro, I can see you doing this on Sundays. If y'all know Andrew Nava, y'all know his voice. And I'm like, yeah, man, maybe one day. He's like, Man, I'm going to talk to Pastor about having you come and be a guest speaker for us. Would you be cool with that? And I'm like, yeah, man, certainly. Just let me know. So fast forward my life, my family and I, we ended up moving back to Fresno at the end of 2020. And we started to attend Celebration Church regularly. Now, the reason that I say we attended it regularly, because whenever I came back in town to visit my family, I will always visit Celebration Church since 2014. But I remember when I started to attend this church regularly, Pastor Andrew Nava came up to me and he's like, hey, man, you still got that same message that you spoke at uni last year? I'm like, I think so. He's like, man, I'm going to speak to Pastor about you being a guest speaker. Are you good with that? And I'm like, yes, that I'll be honored, man. And I remember in 2021 on Father's Day, I got an opportunity to deliver my first message as a guest speaker here 3 years ago today. 3 years ago today, I shared my first message. But I'm going to tell you, that's not even the reason why today hits different for me. Pastor, after I spoke that message, you told me that my ability to speak for the Lord was going to open up doors for me that I couldn't even imagine. Since you spoke that over my life, Pastor, I didn't have the opportunity to travel all around the world speaking, sharing my story, sharing the gospel to people that come from all different walks of life. And I believe it was because of that prophetic word that you spoke over my life. But you know what is interesting? 2 weeks ago, I was in Pittsburgh speaking for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last week, I was in Denver speaking for the Denver Broncos. A year ago, my wife and I, we got flew out to the Dominican Republic to share the gospel to a bunch of season ticket holders for the Pittsburgh Steelers that was on a vacation retreat. And I went out there and they thought they were just coming to have a good time and hang out with current and former Pittsburgh Steelers. But little did they know that God had a bigger plan in store. I got the opportunity to share the gospel in the Dominican Republic. And after I shared the gospel there, so many people decided to give their lives to Christ that we decided to baptize people in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Can we show some of those photos of us baptizing people in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean? I believe we have some. If we don't, all good. Look at this. We're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in Punta Cana, baptizing people, giving them the opportunities to live a life transformed. But I share that with you, Pastor, because the Bible tells us that your gifts will make room for you and bring you before great man. Celebration Church, listen, if you have a gift on the inside of you, whether you can sing, whether you can greet, whether you can speak or get behind the camera, I highly encourage you to get involved with the Dream Team and watch how God do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask, think, or imagine. It was 3 years ago today when I got my first opportunity, and I can't even explain to you guys what God is doing in my life. Just to give you a little glimpse, Pastor, everything that you speak over my life, man, I receive it, and God watches over his word to perform it. I am currently in negotiations to become the spokesperson for a prestigious foundation based out of Washington, D.C., to be able to share the message about how education needs to be transformed. But it was because of that prophetic word that you spoke over my life, Pastor, I get to walk in God's favor today. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Amen, church? Amen. But being an inspiration speaker or a spokesperson was never on my radar until I got the opportunity to speak here 3 years ago. Listen, man, I'm ready to jump right into this word, though. I am believing that God has a message for those that is in the building, for those that are watching online, for those that may be watching on rebroadcast. I'm believing that God is going to speak a message to your life this morning. And being that it is Father's Day, I do want to talk about the Father. You know, throughout the gospel accounts, the one word that Jesus used over and over again to describe God was the word Father. Throughout the gospel accounts, the one word that Jesus used over and over and over again to describe God was the word Father. You see, Jesus wanted his followers, his disciples, to trust God the Father for all their needs. You see, back in the original language, the word Father was a deeply affectionate term. Being a father was not just about having offsprings, but the word Father in the Bible symbolizes the creator, the protector, the provider, someone who cares, the source, the leader, an unconditional lover, holds no grudges, and is a waymaker. So throughout the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus teaches his disciples, his followers, to completely put their trust in God the Father. And the people of God in the Bible, whenever they put their trust fully in God the Father, God always showed up on time. In fact, there isn't one situation in the Bible where the people of God who fully put their trust in the Father, where God did not show up on time. It doesn't matter if we look at the life of Abraham. It doesn't matter if we look at the lives of the Israelites. It doesn't matter if we look at the life of David. It doesn't matter if we look at the life of Job. All we know from reading examples after examples in the Bible, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, is that God the Father shows up every time, on time, if we fully put our faith and trust in him. No matter what your situation is that you may be facing in life, no matter what you may be going through, if you fully put your trust in our Father who art in heaven, you will see a victory every time. You will see a victory every time. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31. I want us to look at one of Jesus' teachings so that we can know how faithful and true God the Father will be to us if we truly put our faith in him. In Luke chapter 12, verses 22, it reads, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life.'" That's a message right there. "What you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, consider the pigeons, consider the crows, consider the birds. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more," let me hear y'all say, "how much more? How much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows," let me hear y'all say, "the Father knows that you need them, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." The title of my message this morning is "The Father Knows." Let us pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this day. God, I thank you for who you are and who you are within me. God, I'm asking right now that you speak a word through me, Father, that your people may be able to hear, listen, and apply to their daily lives. Father, I'm asking that you decrease me right now so that you may be able to increase and let your people hear from you and not from me. Father, I'm asking all these blessings in your son Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Listen, in these verses we just read, Jesus is teaching his disciples through parables and examples of how we should trust the Father's provision for our lives. Jesus is explaining that the Father knows what we need and when we need it, so why do we worry? God the Father is all-knowing. He knows that every single one of us human beings need four things in life to survive. We need food, we need water, we need air, and we need shelter. In order for us human beings to survive, we need food, we need water, we need air, and we need shelter. If you have those four things, you can survive. Everything else you can figure out. But you see, the thing about God is, he don't just want us to survive. God wants us to thrive, amen? God wants us to thrive. And the only way that we could thrive in this life is if we seek the kingdom of God in every single thing that we do. The only way that we can thrive in this life is if we seek the kingdom of God in everything that we do. You know, as a father to my three sons, Robert Jr., Champion, and Awesome, I feel like I know my three children more than anybody else in this world. I know that when my kids wake up in the morning, they gonna be hungry. 20 minutes after they eat, they gonna ask for a snack. 30 minutes after they eat that snack, they gonna ask for another snack. 30 minutes after that, they're going to be asking where lunch at. Does anybody in here know their children more than anybody in this world? But as a father, I have to make sure I provide for my kids. I have to make sure I protect my kids. I have to make sure I love on my kids. I have to make sure I be there for my kids. That is my obligation as their dad. Amen. That's my obligation as their dad. And the beautiful thing about that is my children don't gotta worry in this world. Listen, they don't worry about food. They don't worry about clothes. They don't worry about shelter. They don't worry about bills. They don't worry about nothing in this world. They live in this world on my dime and my time as their guardian. Amen? But you know what the Bible tells us in Matthew 18:3? It says that, truly I tell you, this is Jesus talking. Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, in this verse, Jesus is emphasizing to his disciples the need for them to become like a child, because children are often characterized for their innocence, their humility, their trust, and their dependence on others, usually their parents. And Jesus was encouraging his disciples to approach God the Father with childlike faith, fully trusting the care, the guidance, the provision that God has for their lives, being fully dependent on him. You see, children, it's easy for them to depend on adults and others in their life, because children usually don't understand the concept of pride. You see, pride is a learned behavior, but us adults, me included, we tend to want to be in control. We want to be the shot callers. We want to do things the way that we think they should be done. We want to rely on what we think we know. But in order for us to fully experience the kingdom of God, we have to fully put our trust in God the Father and depend on him like a child depends on adults. Amen? So in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is telling his disciples, do not worry about your life. The Father knows what you need. And since the Father knows what you need, we have to, number one, stop worrying. We have to, number one, stop worrying. Since we know that the Father knows what we need, we have to, number one, stop worrying. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verses 25 through 26, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? That's a question. It has a question mark. Who of us in here can add a single hour to our lives by worrying. I don't see no hands, so let's keep reading. Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Why do you worry about the rest? Listen, Jesus said the birds don't sow or reap. They don't have a storehouse or a barn, yet God feeds them every day. Aren't you, as children of God, more valuable than birds? Listen, the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:6, don't worry. Let me hear y'all say, don't worry. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. 1 Peter 5:7 says, leave all your worries. Let me hear you say, leave all my worries. Leave all your worries with him because he cares for you. Psalms 55:22 says, cast your cares. Let me hear you say, cast my cares. Cast your cares / worries onto the Lord and he will sustain you. Listen, stop worrying about what they say. Stop worrying about what they do. Stop worrying about if you're going to get accepted. Stop worrying about what's going to happen. Stop worrying about what you don't have no control over. Trust God the Father and he knows what you need. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, stop worrying. Our Father is going to make sure his sons and daughters are well taken care of. That's his obligation. The Father knows what we need. We have to trust him. Stop worrying. Number two, since you now know that the Father knows what you need, have faith. Number two, we have to have faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:1, now faith. Let me hear y'all say now faith. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. In other words, you got to know that you know that you know that the Father knows what you need and have assurance that he is going to show up in your life, in your situation, in your circumstances, on time. Not your time, but on time. Somebody say that's faith. Listen, you have to lack no confidence in the outcomes you are hoping for, and you have to visualize what you don't see as if it has already happened. You have to lack no confidence in what you are hoping for, and you have to visualize what you can't see as if it has already happened. Somebody say, that's faith. So what Jesus was telling us in Luke chapter 12, verses 27 through 28, he said, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Can we pull up some of those photos of those wildflowers? I want to be able to give you guys a visual of how beautiful these wildflowers are. Jesus said, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. You see, when we talk about wildflowers, nobody plants them. Nobody waters them. Nobody tends to them. And God is saying that when you see these flowers, nobody tends to them. They don't labor. They don't work. They don't spin around to make sure the sun hits them when it's supposed to hit them. And he's saying that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. You see, back in the Bible, when you were a king, you dressed like it. They had nice robes that was made out of the finest fabrics. Some of the robe had embroidering on it. Some of them was real colorful and represented royalty. And then they wore this crown with jewels all on it. I mean, when you saw a king, you knew that person was a king by how they dressed. But what Jesus is saying is that not even Solomon in all his splendor and all his drip and all his swag and all his sauce was dressed like one of these. Not even Solomon, who was king, was dressed like one of these. And what the Bible tells us in verse 28, it says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Listen, Jesus is saying, if God provides for the grass, turn to your neighbor and say, the grass, which is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he provide for you? Don't be of little faith. You gotta know that you know that you know that you know that the Father knows what you need. Somebody say, the Father knows. The Father knows. And since we now know, because he is a good, good Father, we should lack no confidence in knowing he is going to provide our every need. We should lack no confidence in knowing that God is going to provide our every need. And I can get the praise team to start hitting back with me as I get ready to close out. Number three, since we now know that the Father knows what we need, we must seek thee first, the kingdom of God. Number three, seek the kingdom of God. Listen, throughout the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus teaches about the kingdom of God. Throughout the Gospels, you can look at it. That's one of the most prophetic things that Jesus taught about throughout the whole gospel was the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is a present reality and a future fulfillment. Let me say that again. The kingdom of God is a present reality and a future fulfillment. What do I mean by that? I am glad I asked. You see, to seek the kingdom of God here on earth is to try to understand God's ways of doing things so that you can live in his will that he has for your life, transformed to be like him. To seek the kingdom of God here on earth is to try to understand God's way of doing things so that you can live in his will that he has for your life, transformed to be like him. You see, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you begin to live in the will that God has for you, transformed, living like him, which then provides you access to the kingdom right here on earth. What Luke chapter 12, verse 31 reads, it says, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek thee first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, the Father knows that if you seek his kingdom in all your doings, you will get access in the present reality and in the future fulfillment. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's the future fulfillment. The Bible also says that Jesus said that in my Father's house, there are many mansions. There are many mansions. Listen, when you seek the kingdom of God, you get access to the future fulfillment. And that is why when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray in Luke 11, verse 2, he said, pray like this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen, God wants to give you a glimpse of heaven right here on earth, but it's going to require you to seek thee first, the kingdom of God. Amen. Listen, the Father wants to give us a glimpse of heaven right here on earth. That's why the Bible tells us when we pray, we ask for his kingdom to come and his will to be done, because you want to have a glimpse of heaven right here on earth. Listen, I got a lot of work left to do in this world. I'm not ready to transition. Lord knows. Lord knows I'm not ready to transition. I still want to experience a little bit of heaven right here on earth before I go and be with my Father. So Lord is saying, like, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this life, in my life, in this world. We got to pray for it. We got to ask it. We got to believe it in order for us to receive it. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, the Father knows. The Father knows. Listen, on this Father's Day, I know many of us that is sitting in here, we may have different emotions that is going through us on this day. Some of us in here may have one of the best relationships with our earthly father. Some of us may not even know who our earthly father is. Some of us may be on rocky ground with our earthly father. And I want us to just be mindful. I want us to just be mindful of who our earthly father and who our heavenly father is. You see, no matter what emotions you may be facing in this place on this day, you have to understand that God knows what you're going through. God knows who you are. God knows about that situation. God knows, because the Father knows about his children. Listen, some of us in here, we may have lost our earthly fathers. Our earthly fathers may have transitioned. And as I stand up here today, I lost my dad back in 2016. And I can promise you, there's not a single day that goes by that I don't think about my earthly dad. It's not a single day that goes by that I don't think about my earthly dad. But regardless of what type of emotion you are feeling today, let this verse bring you joy. The Bible says in Psalm 68, verse 5, that God is a father to the fatherless. No matter what emotions you may be facing in this place, know what the Bible tells us in Psalm 68, verse 5. It says that God is a father to the fatherless. If y'all receive this word today, let's give God some praise. Amen. All over the building, we can stand to our feet. All over the building, we can stand to our feet. Listen, we have to know that the Father knows. The Father knows our heart. The Father knows what we're going through. The Father knows what we're facing. The Father knows what we need. The Father is all knowing. We have to know that we know that we know that the Father knows. And since we know that the Father knows, number one, stop worrying. Stop worrying. Stop worrying about that situation. Stop worrying about what you're going through. Stop worrying. The Father knows. Number two, you got to have faith. You got to have faith. You have to believe that what you are hoping for, you are going to see the outcomes of what you are looking for. You have to have faith. But number three, in order for us to really experience the kingdom of God, we have to seek the first, his kingdom and his righteousness. And then the Bible says that all those things that you are in need of, God will supply them to you. Father God, Lord, I thank you for this day. God, I ask that you seal this word in your people's heart. Father God, I'm asking right now, Lord, that they be able to hear this message and apply this message to their daily lives. Father God, I'm asking right now that they know that you know that everything that they're going through, and you is a good, good Father, so you are going to see it through. Father God, you are a good, good Father, and we believe in that everything that each and every single one of your children, your sons, your daughters need, you are going to make sure that they see it through. So Father God, on this day, I'm asking right now, Father, that they know and stop worrying, that they have faith and stop worrying, and that they seek your kingdom in everything that they do. Lord, we ask in all these blessings in your son Jesus' name that we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Happy Father's Day. God bless y'all. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the barbecue. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.